I was wondering. Yes. What do you mean I'm not turned off?
Your volume?
Where's that at? I walked from there to here. I forgot some things.
It just needs to be green.
It is green.
Just talk louder.
Talk louder? Then I'm yelling. We'll get done. But anyhow, I was thinking about a title for this. Norma, would you come down here, please? I was thinking of her. Oh, I got this. Now, if you just
cookies,
would you hear something? What's that sound like?
Cookies.
Let me see if it's still alive.
Oh,
oh, you're lucky. Just some old crumbs. Did you see Norma's reaction? You want to get a can? Nah, she don't want a can. Did you see Norma's reaction? What was it?
Terror.
There you go. I don't know why I'm up here. I'm going to walk all over the place anyhow. So, it was fear. Ladies and gentlemen, what is engulfing us today? Fear. All you got to do is watch television. They spend 24 hours a day making you afraid. The other day, somebody comes, "Oh, depression's coming. I don't know what we're going to do." And Gene, with his normal intelligence, somewhat limited, I looked at him and I said, "You're going to do exactly what you're doing today. You're going to keep breathing. You're going to try to eat. You're going to keep trying to do whatever you can do. You can, some things you can plan for, some things you can't. It's fear. God gave us, in the Bible, 365 fear nots. Isn't that interesting? One for every day of the year. Except leap year. He decided to take that year off. He let you have a little day that you could be a little worried about things. But we have 365 days of fear not. We're not to fear. How many of us have been so scared that you can't hardly stand it? I'm sure all of us have. I have. Kind of hard to say, but anybody that's been in the military in a hostile situation knows exactly what I'm talking about. When it happened, first time, I was laying in a ditch, and there was a major there beside me. Of course, I was wearing khakis. I just got sent to Nam. Didn't know that, but khakis was the uniform of Pentagon officers. So, anyhow, they decided that I was a Pentagon officer. Boy, were they fooled. Anyhow, I'm laying there all grass-stained, and that major looked over at me, and he says, "Are you scared?" What do you say? Yeah. Heavens, yes, I'm scared. What do I do? He looked at me and he said, "So am I." And my heart went, "Oh," you know, come on. But we all were. He gave me a quick lesson in an Army 45. I'd seen them, but never handled one. Let me tell you something. Within 10 seconds, I was an expert with that thing. I knew exactly what to do and how to do it. But he asked me, he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "From Illinois." He said, "Farm kid?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you hunt?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You'll do great." He said, "We're all right." And everything was all right. But at that same time, I remembered something. A little Bible verse that I'd heard. Lo, I am with you always. He's with us all the time. Fear comes in various different forms. They break fear down in religious circles as, first, holy fear. What's holy fear? That is our response to God. Aren't we somewhat fearful when we go to talk to Him? Yeah, because this is God. That's normal. We are to have that, to have the reverence for Him. That our love for Him is that we still, it's the same reverence that I had for my dad. Even though I grew to be as big as he was, Dad was still Dad. And when he was so weak, he couldn't do nothing. I still had that same feeling of reverence for him. That's the reverence we should have, the fear we should have for God. The next one is slavish love. What's slavish love? That's what slaves have. And what do slaves always have fear of? Punishment. Because as a slave, you don't have the ability to make anything happen. You just do what you're told and you hope you do it right. We all have that kind of, it's not necessarily slavery per se, but in our world, there's things that we do like that. You have a job. If you don't show up for your job, what can happen? Get fired. I realize today a lot of people, they want that. But if you're a good Christian, you do your work unto God, not unto the man. So you don't want to get fired. But that's another form of love. Another one's fear of man. What in the world is fear of man? Fear of man is you're scared of them because of their positions, their rank, their wealth. You know, there's people that you see them and, oh, you know, you're just in awe of them. They're just men. Women just like the rest of us. They stub their toe. It hurts. But we accord a sense of nobility to them. For that's a lack of a poor word that I chose there. But we think that they're better than we are. So we have those fear of people. The next one is God's fear. What in the world is God's fear? The best illustration I can tell you that was when the Israelites left Egypt and started walking for Canaan, the promised land. What happened to all the Canaanites in front of them? Remember those stories? They won battles. The Jews won battles when they shouldn't have won battles. You've got to be kidding me. God got them confused and had them kill themselves. The fear of God preceded them. The world does know about the fear of God. That fear that God can, yeah, He created you. Like my dad used to say, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. God can say that to all of us. I can take you out. I made you too. My dad might have been fudged just a little bit on that. But anyhow, that's what we get to. But when we think about fear, let's bring it into something today. It's getting about that time. There's a stupid movie, Wizard of Oz. That lady back there will watch it 45 times. I don't like the monkeys. She loves it. Her favorite character is the lion. You know, I'm so brave. The little dog comes up, little SJ. You know, yip, daddy, yip, yip. And the lion is done. He's afraid of everything. But what happens in the movie?
They go to Oz and get all their wishes.
They get all their wishes, don't they? What does he get?
Courage.
He gets courage. And in what form? A medal.
Oh, was it a medal? He got a medal.
Yeah, he did. Something that he could hang on to, that he could look at and say, people think I'm brave. I got courage. We have courage too. But sometimes we hide it. Lo, I am with you always. Don't forget that. He's with you. You think about fear of something. Well, let's look at Job. Job, I've got a bunch of scriptures here. Just don't worry about me. If you're like me, by the time you find them, the guy's on to three other ones. So I'll just read them. And here on 1:8 it says, Job says, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Did it anywhere in there say he was Superman? Did it say he was the greatest fighter? Did it say that he was the best at anything? Other than we know from Scripture that he was very, very wealthy. And why was he wealthy? Because God blessed him, because he was what? He was blameless, upright, and fears God. He was a good Christian. That was it. Sometimes you and I don't realize it, but we had in our Young at Heart group, we're studying Job, and we talked about this. Sometimes God picks you out. You heard the expression, he never puts on you more than you can stand. Sometimes you have to think of it in this manner. Yeah, things is really rough and tough on me right now, but God thinks I can handle it. Do you realize what a coach you have? Somebody that believes in you that much? He believed in Job, and what did the devil do? He could do everything but kill him. And Job never did curse God. One of the statements he makes later on is, God gives and God takes away. All of us in our life have had things that, we've had huge success. Everything's just coming up great. And then all of a sudden, within a turn of a day, it just starts falling apart. Wheels come off of everything. Why are you picking on me? Well, sometimes it's because God has faith in you. Let's look in Psalms. I'm going to start here, and we'll just kind of go through the books and just show some little things. It's Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from my fears. Who wrote Psalms? David. What's David saying? The Lord delivered me from my fears. David was afraid lots of times, and you think back, a mighty warrior is him. He was great, but he did it. Here in Psalms 112 verse 1 says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Are we always happy with what we're commanded to do? I have a honey-do list that never ends. She says back there, every once in a while, it irritates me, and then I irritate her. But anyhow, she walks. Oh, this over here needs looked at. When are you going to do something about this? You know, what about this over here? That ain't even ours, Sheila. You know, leave it alone. But the lady has this ingrained ability to make everything right. She wants everything perfect. When the kids come home, you know, she cooks their favorite meal. She wants everything to be right. That's what we have here, when he's talking about here. And think, delights in God's commands. If you do what God commands, he takes great delight in you. You have a sweet aroma to him. You aren't the stinky, smelly guy. You've been working, and you really smell bad, but to God, you smell great because you've been doing what you're supposed to do and do those things. Here, it's, and let's go to 147, verse 11, and he states in here, the Lord delights in those who fear him and puts their hope in his unfailing love. Key part of that verse is unfailing love. God loves us no matter what we do. Even when we disobey him, he still loves us. Mom and Dad, do you still love your child when they tear your automobile up? Yes, you do. But boy, I'd like to take about an inch off of his height. No, I was always, when that happened, I was always tickled that they weren't hurt. You know, something like that. But I mean, there's other things that broke. You know, I remember I was a kid. I broke a lamp. You're not supposed to throw balls in the house. Well, I was working on being a pitcher. And I threw one, and like all pitchers, every once in a while, one of them gets away from you. You know, I was coming through, and the ball slipped off, and it took out Mama's lamp. I think my dad tried to wear most of it off. But afterwards, he talked to me and told me, you know, he kind of understood what I was trying to do because it was raining outside. He knew I wanted to play ball, and he told me I wasn't supposed to do that. And I said, yeah. He said, by the way, you're going to buy your mama a new lamp. I'm a kid. I don't have any money. I learned a new term called job. He got me a job so I could pay off that lamp. I wish Mama hadn't picked out such a nice lamp. But that's what we go to. If, as you all know that have been around here a while, know that I love Proverbs. I'm just fascinated with Solomon's mind and the way it goes. And Proverbs 14:16, it says, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Got to be careful about that. Some of those snap decisions we make. I've always told my kids, and they're sick of it. I said, your mouth will get you in more trouble than your feet and hands will get you out of. And being hot-tempered will definitely get you there. It gets you in the wrong places and the wrong things. Also in 14:26, he says, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress for his children, and it'll be a refuge. What he's saying there is that your house, by you being a good Christian father or mother, is a refuge for your children. It's a point of safety. It's a good place. When you think of a fortress, you think of something that is safe. You know, basically, hopefully impregnable. You know, it's just things that goes on. Your children will also feel that. They'll want to come home. So you strive to have a good home. and be, you know, what God said here. He said, man, and what do you have to do to be this person? Fear the Lord. The fear we're talking about here is the first fear, the godly fear. In other words, you pray to God, you live a Christian life, you play by the rules. I wish I could tell you it's easy. It's not. One of the hardest things you'll ever do. Believe it or not, it's just really, really hard on some things. Now, ladies, I've been talking about the men, but here, Solomon says in 31:30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Thank you, ladies. We praise you today. Your attendance here tells us that you're doing what's right. You need to be praised. 2 Corinthians. Here, we'll look at 7, verse 5. This is Paul talking. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. We were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears on the inside. But God, who comforts the downcast, comfort us by the coming of Titus. You're going to have trials. You're going to have trouble. But what did God do? Paul is really downcast. He thinks, you know, this is terrible. Everywhere he goes, he's had rocks thrown at him. He's been scourged a couple of times. I mean, he is at the end of his rope. You know, God, what are you doing here? And he sends Titus to encourage him. And it encourages him. When you see your friend that's downcast and troubled, be Titus. Be Barnabas. Go help him out. Talk to him. A lot of times all it is just be next to him. That's good enough. Then we have here in 1 John 4, 18, excuse me. Let's see, I got a hit here, I think. Yep. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. John wrote that, in perfect love there is no fear. But when will we obtain perfect love? Heaven. So when you read that here, don't let it discourage you that you're not perfect because you have fear. In heaven, we will have no fear. We will have perfect love. But the thing is, perfect love does what? Casts out fear. So God loving us will take care of a lot of our fears. There's, I've got one more verse here. I got to go back to Psalms. I heard this man make this statement one time. 95% of our fears are never realized. The things that you are scared of, that's going to get you, hurt you, never happens. And the 5% does was the 5% you didn't think about. So he said it's stupid to worry at all. Worry about, you know, and be fearful of life, because you can't change some of the things that happens to you in life. So I want to leave you with this verse. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, when the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake and they're surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Don't worry about it. Don't be fearful. Even though the mountains are falling down and everything else, God told us what he's going to do for us. We've got some tough times coming ahead. Stay true to God and you'll get through it. I'm not telling you you're not going to come through unscathed, but you will make it through. So that's all I have today, is be careful of guys at tin cans, because they might actually have a mouse in it.